Are you one of our regular students for Self-Improvement Wednesday? Each week, you get to learn something new. Your lesson this week, plants that eat animals, the wonder of nature. Your teacher is Martin Robinson, naturalist at the Australian Museum. Good to talk to you, Martin. We've all heard of the Venus flytrap, but there's actually quite a number of different plants that eat animals.
Yes, and actually Australia is one of the places where there's a very great diversity of them. We have a whole range of plants that use a number of different strategies to catch animal food, and they're not by any means closely related to one another. They often come from very different families.
The plants need this animal protein for one main reason, and that is nitrogen.
Yes, the soils that they live in, or the substrate that they live in, is very, very poor in nutrients, either because it's very waterlogged and the water washes everything away, or else that the ground is very poor in nutrients, or that the ground itself is such that it's just an anchorage and the plant can't get any nutrients from it, so it has to get it from above ground.
So there are three different types or different categories of these traps?
Yes, there's the sticky flypaper traps that insects will land on and stick to and not be able to let go of again. There's pitfall traps where the animal drops into a sort of a cup or a cavity which has got fluid in the bottom, and you get also the little spring-loaded traps where a Venus flytrap would be a classic example of that, where something actually snaps shut on the insect.
So the flypaper traps are best represented in Australia by the various sundew species with leaves covered in glandular hairs.
Yes, the sticky ones, I'm sure most people would have seen them along wet, soggy roadside ditches and things like that. But Australia's got a wide variety of them. Some of them, the entire plant, flowers and all, would barely cover your little fingernail. And others, you've got leaves up to 30 centimetres or so in length. And you've got erect ones, you've got little flat ones like dandelions. You've got a whole range of different shapes and appearances there.
Let's talk about the pitfall types. Australia has two of these.
Yes, we have two representatives of this group, but there's a number of them around the world, and Australia certainly isn't unique in having a variety of different species, but we've just got a big diversity. So up in northern Australia, you've got a sort of a scrambling vine, and the leaf tips, the tendrils on the end, have become a cup that holds fluid, and there's a little lid to stop the rain from filling it with this fluid. And inside the rim and around the rim, it produces a sticky nectar, rather like a flower. But just inside the rim of this cup, the surface of the leaf is covered with, I guess you'd liken them to sort of wax roofing tiles or very tiny ones. And when the insect steps on those, they start to slip out of place and drop down. And the insect with these wax-covered feet just drops straight into the fluid, gets digested.
Now, of the triggered traps, Australia has many of the bladderworts, which get their name from tiny bladders which grow amongst the roots or the leaves.
Yes, those are. That's a vacuum trap. It's rather unusual in nature. The plant produces these little hollow bladders, and it pumps out all the fluid. And on the side opposite the leaf vessels, there's a little door which has got a number of little hairs on the door. And if those hairs are touched, it suddenly releases the door, and the vacuum sucks in the water and anything that's in the water just outside into this little bladder. And this works equally well in water itself or in wet ground. And we have both terrestrial ones and aquatic ones. And the aquatic ones feed on tiny water animals up to the size of small baby fish. And the wet ground ones feed on similar sort of soil organisms. But they usually are noticed because of their flowers. They have quite large flowers in spite of the tiny size of the traps. And the terrestrial ones are known as fairy aprons. So if you've ever seen those, there's death and disaster going on underground.
Perhaps the most famous of all the predatory plants is the Venus flytrap. We've all heard of that with its hinged leaf ends that snap shut on hapless flies when they touch the trigger hairs within the trap. And it's actually a native to Carolina in the United States, not here.
No, it's not a native plant at all, though. you'll find them widely available in most plant nurseries, so you can happily own a Venus flytrap. But we've got our own equivalent of it called Aldrovanda, or the waterwheel plant. And if you were to take a cross-section of the plant and look at it end-on, it would look like the series of spokes in a wheel. And on the ends of each of those spokes, there's a tiny little version of the Venus flytrap, but it works underwater. So little things like mosquito larvae and water fleas, they go paddling along, they touch the trigger hairs, and the leaf snaps shut, crushes it, and then starts to digest it. There's variations on all of these sorts of traps too. So for example, in the pitfall traps, you can also get a version which you'd probably better describe as a lobster pot trap. So instead of being a cavity that you drop into, it's got barbed hairs going into it and it lies horizontally. So any animal that goes in can go in further but can't come back out the same way it goes in. So it just dies in the furthest recesses of this trap and gets digested. You've got some of the lids of the other pitfall traps that have got little clear windows in them. So if they're catching flying insect prey, and the prey takes off, it tries to fly to the light with these little light windows, bounces off those and ricochets back into the fluid. And even in the sundews, you've got some that are active and some that are passive. So you've got ones that have got a long fringe of these sticky hairs around the edge of the leaf, and any passing ant that touches them, the hair picks them up by the sticky drop and deposits them in the middle of the leaf and then curls over.
Thanks to Martin Robinson from the Australian Museum. You can listen back to the lesson online at abc.net.au/Sydney. There you'll also find details of how to subscribe to the free Self-Improvement Wednesday podcast. Next week, Evelyn Waugh's Brideshead Revisited with Susanna Fullerton, literary lecturer and author.